You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium. This is episode 9. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. This is all brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Look, the day we've all been waiting for is finally here. Months after his off-season surgery for a herniated disc, Timmy Jernigan has been cleared to return to practice, giving the Eagles some sorely needed reinforcements, especially needed along the interior of that defensive line. Now, to be clear, Jernigan is not on the active roster yet and is still on the NFI list, but he did participate in the walkthrough today on Monday, and this opens a 21-day window where the Eagles can activate him at any point. Jernigan added 24 pressures, 2.5 sacks, and 13 run stops to the Eagles' defense last year. And before we get too excited, we can only guess what type of player we'll be getting back. Back injuries can be extremely difficult for big men to overcome, but you hope that we get him back at least close to full health and he brings some of his trademark first step juice to the defense. We will keep you updated on Jernigan as we move through this week and let you know if anything changes with his status. And of course, BleedingGreenNation.com will be following it very closely. Conversely, the NFC East leading Washington Redskins have received some terrible news. It comes in threes, and it is a massive hit to them. Offseason addition wide receiver Paul Richardson Jr., who signed a 5-year, $40 million contract to join the Redskins, will get surgery on his AC joint in his shoulder and miss the rest of the year. Richardson was their top receiver with 262 yards, only behind tight end Jordan Reed in terms of the entirety of the team. This leaves their receiving core with Josh Doctson, Mo Harris, Brian Quick, and Michael Floyd. Not exactly intimidating. The next player done for the year is Sean Laval. Apologies if I butchered that name. He came off the field against the Falcons with a knee injury, couldn't put any weight on it, and was wheelchaired off. Turns out he does indeed have a torn ACL. When he came off, it forced the Redskins to move Chase Roullier into his guard spot, which brought in Tony Bergstrom at center. Trent Williams is still dealing with his thumb injury. Not sure when he's going to return. Morgan Moses, the tackle, was sidelined with a knee injury, but was forced back into action after Laval went down. And then boom, one more big hit. Elite, and I don't throw that word around lightly, elite guard Brandon Scherff, the two-time Pro Bowler, went down clutching his chest against the Falcons. It has been revealed that he has a torn pec and will need surgery. His season is done. So that is a catastrophic sequence of events for a Redskins offense that wasn't exactly lighting up the scoreboard anyway. They're in 26th in the league at 20 points per game. And the thing propping them up, their defense, was exposed against the Falcons and allowed 38 points in a bad loss. I never take enjoyment out of any team or player suffering injuries, but the fact remains that the Eagles, down one game in the East to the Redskins now, are seeing that door open just a little bit more after the rash of unfortunate events in Washington. So that was a little bit longer of an intro to this show than normal, but it was certainly necessary. Before we kick it over to the press conferences, which will be Mike Rowe first, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, and then defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, who will have some words about Timmy Jernigan, I wanted to remind you that Dallas sucks, and here's to them hopefully dropping back from contention with a loss to the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football tonight. All right, let's kick it over to these press conferences. We'll start with Mike Rowe, who opens up with some Golden Tate chatter.
Great job, and obviously just getting everybody back today off a bye week. We're jumping in the pool with both feet, and He's a veteran player. He's been in a couple different systems, so he's got familiarity with different systems in the league, and he can relate it to it, you know, things that he's done in the past. And we're trying to look back at things that he's had a lot of success with, and start there.
How do you handle that stuff, like, for you during the bye week in terms of, you know, were you watching most of his stuff in Detroit? Were you imagining how you're going to implement him into this?
Yeah, well, obviously we watched a lot of the things that he's done over the last several years, and just to familiarize yourself with the player and things that he's been asked to do and things that he can do well, and just try to, you know, start there and build a foundation from there.
Firepower, you guys have the outside now with him and Alshon and Zach and Melvin. Is that kind of group of receivers almost a necessity in today's game given the level of scoring we're seeing and
Well, you need a lot of weapons for sure. I mean, you got to spread people out and kind of make them choose a little bit and how they want to try to defend you. And when you've got, you know, a compliment on the other side of the field that they've always got to be aware of, that makes you a lot harder to defend. And we think that his skill set certainly is very complementary to the guys that we already had. And we just got to try to, you know, work them into it.
What does
Golden do well? Well, he's extremely competitive. And he's got excellent play strength, and I think we all know and are aware of his statistics, after he gets the ball in his hands. So, we're excited about that dimension that he brings. But, he's a really competitive guy, and I think that, he fits nicely and complements the guys that we already have in the huddle.
As a coaching staff, you have a veteran coming in who knows, you mentioned his knowledge of other offenses. Do you kind of overload him right away, or do you kind of ease him into these things?
I think you try to balance that a little bit. I mean, you know, we want to try to get them going as quickly as we can, so we can't just spoon feed them all the way, but we want him to be playing fast when he's in there. So there's a little bit of a balance to that. And, he'll kind of tell us based on how quickly he's picking things up as to how much more we can keep feeding
him. Do you see him and Nelson as being similar type of receivers? And if so, like, how would they be able to complement each other on the field at the same time? Or is there any kind of change in how you play?
We think they're both dynamic players. So, you know, the more dynamic players you can get on the field at one time, the harder you are to defend. And, they certainly do some similar things very well. But I think they got different types of games too. So, that's the thing that we're working through over the next week or so. We're trying to put it all together for Sunday.
In Golden's case, he's had success in the short passing game. Can the short passing game be used in place of the running game in certain situations?
Yeah, I think so. If you're kicking the ball out on time and the defense is retreating and giving those guys to operate in space, you can. I mean, obviously the West Coast offense was born that way. Absolutely. I think there's a place for that, but it doesn't. It certainly doesn't replace the physicality of a run game.
What stuck out about his performance against Dallas Week 4?
He had a lot of explosive plays, a couple touchdowns. Was able to get down the sideline. These guys, made a guy miss on the sideline and went the rest of the way for a touchdown. So, he was a big part of the reason why they were in that game.
Does it help you at all that you have fresh tape that you can possibly?
Because he played against Dallas and we're playing Dallas, you mean?
Yeah.
We would watch it. We watch the tape anyway, but I don't think we can sit here and say we're going to run the exact same plays that worked for you the last time. So, we're obviously evaluating the Detroit game anyway, because we're playing Dallas. So,
why do you think Golden's been so effective on third downs in his career? What about his skill set makes him such a dominant player?
Well, I think that he's quarterback friendly in terms of, his body language. He and Matthew Stafford played a lot of ball together. And, before that with Russell Wilson, those guys were able to figure out, his body language at the top of routes. And he's got really good short area quickness. So he can set guys up, keep guys off balance. And like we've talked about already today, he can break tackles when he needs to. He's got good play strength, lower body strength to be able to, plant and run through some arm tackles.
It's not just Golden Tate, but there's potentially a lot of new pieces are going to be worked in the second half to get them all, but get the most of them back. How do you do that? How do you work that all out?
Who are you asking about?
Darren Sproles, maybe Mike Wallace, guys you might be getting back, Mac Collins.
Right. I mean, all those guys, obviously, we're hopeful that they'll return at some point. But, when that time comes and, we'll cross that bridge. Right now, we're just worried about the guys that we know can play on Sunday and trying to get those guys ready to go.
What is it about Golden's body language that helps?
I don't know if that's kind of hard to describe, but it's just something that that you just kind of build up and you can kind of feel as a quarterback. And I'm guessing a little bit. I wasn't there in Detroit, but, you know, he's just the way he sets up defenders, I think, is easy for quarterbacks once they've had opportunity to work with a guy to see how he sets them up and the subtleties that he makes in his movements.
Do you have to have a conversation with any of the other receivers who's – I mean, it's just the fact of life is that other people are going to have fewer reps. There's only one ball. Do you have to have a conversation with some of the other guys about their roles, or is that something that, as a pro, they have to deal with anyway?
Well, I think that we talk about it, but we've got guys in our room, in our locker room, that the most important thing to these guys is winning. And they recognize that Golden Tate's a good football player and he's going to help us win football games.
Did you guys do first half evaluations during the bye week as coaches?
First half evaluations of?
The first half of the season.
As coaches. We're constantly evaluating ourselves.
What did you come away with, out of curiosity?
You want everything that we've come away with?
No. Big picture.
Well, I think the general theme that we've talked about in here is, we played well. We've done well on third down in situational football. We've done well in the red zone. And, we've been able to come away with points, and we need to continue to do that. We were good against Jacksonville in both those situations, and we need to continue to be able to do that. And if we can do that, we can be balanced. We can spread the ball around and get the ball to our playmakers. Control line scrimmage, give Carson time to throw, then we're usually pretty good on offense.
He's so good at one thing, but what can he give you down the field? He's going to have to line up outside, I'm sure, sometimes. What can he give you on those deeper routes?
This would be a work in progress with Golden, and I certainly wouldn't stand up here and say what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. I mean, we're going to get out there on the grass with him on Wednesday and start working towards that.
How hard is it to learn a playbook in such a short period of time?
It's like learning a new language. Like I said, he's got background in learning some new systems. So he's a smart guy. He can relate it to things that he was doing in Detroit most recently. And, we just try to build from there. It's not necessarily as hard during the season because you're focused on a game plan as opposed to in training camp when you're learning the entire playbook, like everything's going in so that you can draw from that as a resource throughout the season. So right now he knows he has a select number of plays that are in the game plan, and we just try to go from there.
Do you expect you'll have your regular starting offensive line this week?
I don't know where the guys are right now in terms of the injuries. I mean, we'd be hopeful to.
Corey has struggled the last couple of games. I think he's got like 12 carries, 12 yards. How much of that is just him coming back from that injury and trying to get back to the, regain the, get in sync with the speed of the game? How much is something else?
I think part of it is just that's football. Sometimes guy breaks a tackle and makes a guy miss. Another time he's got a big hole to run through, and I think it's just maybe a little bit of luck of the draw for him. And he's doing everything that we're asking him to do. He's contributing on special teams. He's a big part of that unit and the success that they're having. So I don't think there's anything when you say struggle. I don't see a guy struggling. He just maybe hasn't had the breakout game that we're hopeful to have.
Where's the confidence level in Big B right now, and what does he need to do to get back to the player we saw last year?
Well, I've got a lot of confidence in B. You see him go in the game the other day and play really well for us. We had a number of guys go in and step up, whether it be V or Wiz going in and play for us during the course of the game, or Isaac, flipping out the right tackle when Lane went down. So. We got a lot of confidence in that group and the way that they prepare, the fact that they're not going to get reps at every position they might be called on to play in a game. And the expectation is for them to play at a high level. And those guys all really did a good job of that the other day.
You mentioned the self-scout a little bit, the evaluation, situational football. Did you guys come up with any tendencies as the fact that why it hasn't been as successful? Is it just injuries, personnel?
No, it'd be a combination of factors. I think we're on track. In a lot of areas, we're really close. So we'll just keep working at it each week.
After the Jacksonville game, the way Josh acted, has he
earned
more playing time?
Yeah, we liked what Josh did the other day. He needs to take care of the ball there in that one circumstance a little bit more. That was a little bit closer than we all would like. But, you know, Josh has done a good job when he's been given the opportunity, and that's what you want for everybody. Hey, just keep working, and when your opportunity comes, try to maximize it.
What does Josh do well overall?
I like his skill set. He's got good size, and, you know, he's been running downhill, running behind his pads, and making guys miss for a big guy being able to stick his foot in the ground and make the first one miss or break a tackle. He's done a good job of that, and he's got good hands out of the backfield, and he's been on his assignments from a protection standpoint, which is the hardest thing for most rookie backs to do, and he's been on it, and he's demonstrated that in practice and earned people's trust.
The Cowboys have a top five defense statistically anyway. What is it that they're doing
well? Yeah, they've done a good job in holding points down. They've got some talented players up there. They're good up front. And they can create some pressure, particularly on the edges with you know, their D-line. They've got speed at linebacker, and they're covering well in the perimeter. So, you know, we're going to have to put a good plan together to get ready to beat these guys. But they're definitely having a good season.
Mike, one more on Josh Adams. What does a taller running back have to do to kind of avoid being an easy target for attack?
Well, I just get your knees, you know, knees bent, hips down, and the guy's been carrying the ball a long time. So, you know, he's got his own playing style.
Thanks,
Coach. Yep. All right.
That's why you stand. Okay.
T. Jernigan was back at practice today. What does he give you?
Well, let's put back at practice relative terms today. Yeah. But it was good seeing him in a uniform and good, you know, just seeing him out there. You know, Timmy, he's got such an infectious smile and just a good demeanor around the game and stuff like that. So, you know, get his clock going a little bit, get him in some individual drills and things like that, and just take it one day at a time with him.
What are your expectations for him returning to a game?
I don't have any. I mean, it's going to be totally based on, you know, where he is. First day of training camp, first day of OTAs, you know, all that's, you know, where he is. But you're also talking about a guy that's a veteran player, that's played a lot of football, that, you know, has been working extremely hard. So coming back from a major injury, but, you know, get him up to speed, and his body will tell him, and then that'll guide us.
We obviously haven't seen him in a long time, but you've seen him in the building, what he's been doing. How much work has he been putting in, and what kinds of things has he been doing?
You know, he's a lot like Sidney Jones was last year. You know, he's haunting the hallways. He's, you know, he's staying current with what we're doing. You know, couldn't participate in any walkthroughs in any fashion. So, but he's out there observing them all. He's in a different position than Sid was last year. Sid was a rookie that had never played. Timmy's a veteran player that's played a lot of football for us and for other people around the league. So, you know, once he's able to physically start feeling it and be able to get out doing drills with someone other than the trainer, all due respect to those guys. I mean, it's just about with his teammates, out competing against the offensive guys, maybe run some scout team cards, you know, things like that. He'll start getting back in the flow of things. You know, I mean, but to go in with any expectation, I think doesn't do the right thing by him. We just sort of take it one day at a time and see where he is. When he's ready, we'll get him back out there.
Did you realize, like, last spring that he was going to be gone for this long?
Well, back in OTAs and not in the off season, but once we were going, then we had a pretty good idea where it was going to take us. You know, we were hopeful that, you know, he'd come back sooner, but, you know, just is what it is.
You've been talking about the lack of turnovers this year, but you got a big one against the Jaguars from Avante. What did that mean for the team?
Yeah, that gave us a spark right there at the end of the first half. You know, and getting them, you know, some takeaways, you know, sort of just happen. You know, there's some that you earn. I thought that was one that was earned. He did a good job of cutting his coverage. He did a good job of getting through that tackle. Again, I sort of like to see us. I think the next step for us is multiple turnovers, and then probably the next step after that is getting back in the end zone. We haven't been in the end zone after being in the end zone a bunch last year. You know, turnovers are game-changing plays. I thought that certainly could be classified as that.
You previously mentioned the one-dimensional nature of your defensive tackles, not named Fletcher Cox. So what does Timmy give you that? What does Timmy give you in that regard if when he can come back and then he can rush the passer and stop the run?
Well, I mean, that's why we liked him. That's why we traded for him. That's why we re-signed him last year. So he was a big part of our success last year. You know, he didn't rush a lot on third down, had some in there, but he was a guy that could win a one-on-one away from Fletch, which means an awful lot. And he's also a guy that's really stout against the run, but he also has good enough lateral ability that he can make sideline-to-sideline play and make some tackles for losses. I think, you know, he's also a guy that brings energy to us on defense. He just loves to play, gets out there, plays tough, you know, plays with some, you know, some personality. And it'd be nice to, you know, when we're able to get him back, that'll be as welcome as his physical talents.
You know, they just traded for Amari Cooper. Obviously, I'm sure you'll watch him tonight and everything. What does that do for their offense? You know, how does it change things?
You know, I think that's, like you said, you're going to have to watch and see. Tonight we'll start to tell that picture, or tell that story, I should say. They didn't give up a first-round draft pick to sit him on the bench. They didn't give up a first-round draft pick to you know, to run him as a decoy. They got him to get the football to. So I think they'll try to get him up. You know, he's a young player, but he is a little bit of a veteran. He's been in a couple different offensive schemes. Usually guys like that, teams can get up to speed pretty quickly. They got him last week. I would assume he'd be up to speed and ready to go tonight, and you'd see him. You know, he just adds another good player to him. You know, they've had a little bit of transition over the last year. They lost Witten to retirement, moved on from Dez Bryant. You know, so there's a little bit of different dynamic, a couple changes on the offensive line. You know, it puts another playmaker on the field for him. And, you know, he's a guy that we'll certainly have to look out for. But I think tonight we'll start to tell the story.
Assuming you watched that Rams-Saints game last night, just wondering your thoughts about their offenses, obviously having to face both teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to look. You can't look past the Cowboys. I don't think that would be right for me to comment with the Cowboys coming up this week.
Back in the transition with the Cowboys and Dez and Jason Witten, who are obviously veteran players, have they changed a lot in the passing game without those two guys, or are they trying to do the same things, just don't have the same veteran leadership?
Now, they have new wrinkles that they've added. But, you know, anytime you take a Hall of Fame tight end away and a marquee wide receiver away, there's going to be changes in the dynamics. You know, it just sort of is what it is. Ezekiel Elliott is still playing really good football, not only in the run game, but in the pass game. You know, Swain's done some nice things at tight end. He's not Jason Witten, but he's done some nice things there. And I think that as you see the years go on, Prescott has become more comfortable in what they're doing. And his ability to, you know, throw guys open, make tight throws, do those kind of things. You know, everybody's a work in progress at every point in time. But I think there has been significant. I mean, you don't just see the same team that we played 3 years ago or 2 years ago, 2016, when we first got here. That being said, there's some tough outs there. Cole Beasley's, you know, playing really good football. I guess I mentioned the running back. I think Prescott's elevated his game. You know, they certainly present some challenges. They've been hot sometimes this year, too, as an offense. They've had some times where they haven't been, but they've had some times where they heated up that was hard for defenses to stop them. It's going to be a good challenge for us. Well, you know, the field was so difficult to get any traction on that it really made it hard to generate pass rush. It was hard to push on guys. It was hard to corner. You know, so we made a decision to blitz probably about twice as much as we normally did in the game. That probably had a lot to do with it. I mean, we started the game with it, but you could just – I've been on those fields before, and it's difficult. You know, we were off our feet an awful lot, not just in pass rush, but in coverage and everything else. It's just hard to generate the same kind of pass rush that you're normally used to having, so you have to create it some other way.
Jim, I think the injuries of front.
Go ahead.
With all the injuries up front, you guys have still been a top five run defense. What have you done to replicate the efficiency that you lost with Timmy and some of those other guys?
I mean, everybody's got a job to do in the scheme. I think that's it. Our guys take a lot of pride in stopping the run. Honestly, our biggest thing in stopping the run the last few weeks has not been run game. It's been quarterbacks. And that's the bulk of our rushing yards the last couple of weeks from Cam Newton and from Bortles have been quarterback scrambles. There's been some air in some of our rushes. Again, hard to be extremely critical because the field, what made it tough to do that. And then the week before you have a guy like Cam Newton, that's a tough guy to get down. But, you know, those still count as rush yards, even though they're not part of our run defense, I guess you'd say. But our guys take a lot of pride in it. They understand that their ability to rush and things like that depend on stopping the run.
So I was actually going to ask you about that. I mean, Luck was, I think, four of the five leading rushers against you guys are quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Luck had the long run. Mariota had some is there any kind of common theme on those big plays that you need to fix?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big plays are probably the biggest thing. I mean, quarterback scrambles really fall in the, like, two categories that as a defense coordinator you get concerned about. One is when they're scrambling for first downs, moving the sticks. And we saw Bortles do that. That was probably their best way to move the sticks. And then the other one is explosive plays, those plus 20 plays. And we've seen some of those. It's layered so many different ways. If you blitz, sometimes there's air and there's room for those guys. That was probably more Andrew Luck. Other times you're playing zone and you're defending deeper routes and you're back and then you got a closed space. Each one's a little bit different, but I don't think it's a secret to say that's one of the things we have to do a better job with. And really, in my mind, it falls in two ways. Stopping for or keeping them from scrambling for first downs, particularly third down conversions, and then the long runs, take those off the board.
Cowboys changed offensive line coaches. I wondered if in your career that you've played a team shortly after an offensive line coach change, and either way, do you anticipate a tremendous change in technique or in scheme or anything from them up front?
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, I don't recall. I know that's been done before. I mean, it's not unusual to see a coaching change in the middle of the season. But they have a body of work, and I think you look at where they were last year, where they are this year. I would anticipate them probably more getting back to some of the techniques they used over the last couple years. But we'll see. I mean, the good thing about it is it gives us a little indicator tonight. They've had a week to practice. They've had a chance to put a game plan together. Most of those guys are experienced players that probably can flick a switch and go back to different techniques. But we'll have a lot more information probably about 11:30 tonight.
One place to run on you, Jim, and it was mainly attributed to the fact that you guys were jumping out to quick leads and teams were having to play catch up. This year that's not happening, but teams still aren't running against you. Does that surprise you at all? And if it doesn't, why do you think it's the case?
You probably have to ask them. There's so many layers to run defense now. The run can be called and it's still a pass. Advantage throws outside, RPOs, quarterback, or then pass plays can be called and they can still run it. Quarterback can scramble, read option type things. Our biggest thing here, and you know me, it's all about getting stops. It's all about keeping points off the board. If that means giving up a lot of rushing yards and not much passing yards, then, hey, that's the way it goes. If it means the opposite, that's the way it goes. I mean, you know me, they don't give any more points for a rushing touchdown than they do a passing touchdown. It's our job to keep points off the board. However that happens, it happens. But I think probably the one thing I would say there, the passing game and the run game are melting together so much that it's not about taking one of them away. It's about limiting the offense, if that makes any sense.
The first game with Barnett on IR, you had Long and Bennett over 80% of the snaps. Is that how you want to go going forward here, or do you want Sweat in rotation?
No, we'd like Sweat to get a little bit more. We knew we had the bye week coming up, so those guys sort of emptied the tank a little bit. Going forward, like to get him in there a little bit more. But those guys are veteran players. They knew what the situation was. They knew we really needed a win, and they also knew that as veteran players, they got a chance to get a week off and get their bodies right a little bit. So I think all those went into the decision there. Okay. All right, guys, thanks.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.